This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Now, Daryl didn't get this earlier, but he was distracted this week. This is a new single that dropped. Because that's how I
yesterday. Speak. That's how you talk.
Yeah, that's how I speak. This is a new single that dropped yesterday afternoon. Daryl didn't get it. Lima didn't get it. Owen and I got it. I wonder if Nathan Zagura can get it. Nathan joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Browns radio analyst. Nathan, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Ken.
Did you hear the music, or do we have to keep playing it for you?
No, I heard it, and it was invoking. It felt like it was a derivative of the 1994 classic "Must Be the Money," performed by the great Deion Sanders. And so, to my ear, those sound like the dulcet tones of Shedeur Sanders.
Got it. Life is complicated. You got it. Girl, wanna see outstanding. See you outstanding.
Are there any Easter eggs in there about playing
this
for the Browns?
This is a guy who knows the draft. You got to know. And Mel Kiper don't know that, folks. Nathan, outstanding.
Mel Kiper does know that. There was one lyric where people were trying to twist it to where he said, I ain't got no neighbors, that was to make it sound like he was saying no Malik neighbors, not going to be a giant.
Oh,
that's good.
Interesting. I said that he was on the beach. I thought it was Euclid Beach or Edgewater. That was going to be my little piece to it. Nathan joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So, yeah, whether or not you like the song, that's inconsequential. Are we settling at a quarterback at number two there, friend? Mary Kay said yes. Daryl said no. What do you say, Nathan?
I think we, as long as, you know, it is the consensus of the organization that there is someone that is viable, then absolutely. I think until you have a quarterback in this league, you cannot compete year in and year out. And I think, you know, people, oh, it's safer to not take a quarterback. There seems to be a lot of fear around taking a quarterback. Mm. The Browns have picked in the top 10 14 times since 1999. They've only taken two quarterbacks, Tim Couch and Baker Mayfield. You have got to get that position. There have been plenty of times where the Browns have traded down or not taken a quarterback where there were tremendous quarterbacks in that draft. So I think you're in a position where you've got Joe Burrow, you've got Lamar Jackson in your division, you've got Mahomes, you've got Josh Allen in your conference, not to mention, you know, C.J. Stroud, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence down in Jacksonville if they can get it going. So this is a great quarterback conference. And you need to compete. The one reason why the Browns have had, in my time with them over a decade, the best left tackle in the history of the game, the Hoff Joe Thomas, one of the greatest edge defenders, currently today the best edge defender in the league, and one of the best of all time. Hoff said if he ever had to have one rep that mattered, Myles Garrett is the last person he would want to see lined up from him. You've had the best running back in the league for a four-year stretch, and you've had, you know, a top five, six cornerback in this league during that time as well, and Denzel Ward, and you have had won one playoff game. And the reason for that is that you have not won a quarterback. You have not had a quarterback. And so when people talk about the draft, now it's much safer not to take a quarterback. first of all, there are no sure things in the draft, but the one sure thing in the NFL, and I've been saying this for weeks, is you cannot win without a quarterback. And so I've studied both of these guys, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, a lot of people whose opinions I respect, certainly think both of them are capable of leading franchises in the National Football League. And the Browns pick second. There's two of them. They're guaranteed a shot at one of them.
Well, Lima's going to fire away at you here in a second. But, Nathan, you know, I've been saying it like crazy because we've had calls and we've had other hosts here like, no. I'm going, guys, the only way you can guarantee that you don't have a franchise quarterback is if you don't take a risk. I mean, they're all going to be risks, and your backs are up against it.
Exactly.
We got this roster that is, it's not going to get any younger, and you're going to have to try it at some point. And I think the Cardinals have shown us, like, hey, if it doesn't work out, you can go back to the well. You know, I don't want to be so cavalier because we are talking about a man's career here, but you know, that's kind of where we're at right now. That's kind of where the league is at, Nathan. You know it.
It is where the league is at. You have to have a quarterback, and if you look at the last two teams that picked second in the draft. C.J. Stroud, Jaden Daniels to Houston and Washington, respectively, they both went to the playoffs. The league is built for you to be able to turn it around, but to turn it around, you have to have a quarterback. And the Browns, after last season, which was a disaster, and you had certainly teams win games, maybe down the stretch they sit there now and probably say, man, I wish we didn't win those games. You have been given a life raft at the number two pick overall. The Browns certainly hope to never be picking number two overall again. And so you have an opportunity to get that quarterback. One of the things that's really happened in this league, and it's subtle, is that it really is an offensive league. It's so hard with the way that the rules are structured. It is so hard to be a dominant defense year in and year out. It is just a very difficult thing to do. But offense, that travels, and that has traveled over the last few years. And one of the things I looked at this year was at the top 12 scoring teams of the league, they go to the playoffs. That's just the way that this league works now. If you can score the football, you can go to the playoffs. What helps you score? Obviously, having an elite quarterback. Of those 12 teams, 11 of them had first-round picks at quarterback. The one outlier was the Super Bowl champion, Jalen Hurts, who certainly is a guy that's been a top-three candidate in the MVP voting. He has been sensational for them. He is an elite quarterback. They got very lucky. They were smart about it. They drafted a quarterback when it looked like they didn't need one, and he's turned into one. But they surrounded him with Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown and Saquon Barkley. But Jalen Hurts, in his own right, is elite because he makes your team start at first and nine. He eliminates 10% of the yards needed to gain for a first down just by his unique abilities. But 11 of them were first-round picks. 10 of them were picked in the top 12, and 6 of them were picked first or second overall. 6 of the top 12 scoring offenses in the league were quarterback by players picked first or second overall. You look at these things and you say to yourself, yes, people are saying, oh, this is like the Kenny Pickett draft. This is not like the Kenny Pickett draft. Put on the tape. Watch them. Cam Ward, I think if you look at both of them, more talented overall in the sense that he's got a bigger arm. He can make throws from kind of any platform. He's a little nonchalant with his footwork. He eschews the easy gain and tries to make chunk plays, but he is a chunk play machine. And then you have Shedeur. We can get more in depth, but just kind of top line, Shedeur is incredibly tough, willing to stay in the pocket and take hits and deliver the football. He was behind the worst offensive line I've ever seen in all my years of scouting quarterbacks. Absolutely decimated, and he is accurate. He's incredibly accurate. His ball placement leads 2 yards after the catch, and he is a good anticipatory thrower and a great decision maker. He sees things. His instincts for playing the position are great. And many people have said he's the best pure passer in this draft, even those who have him ranked second behind Cam Ward. Then you got Bucky Brooks, who thinks he is the best quarterback in this draft. So you've got two guys that in the consensus are going, really, you never see Shedeur get past pick 6. I think there's one mock where I saw him go 9th. It's not like we're talking about quarterbacks that would be in the 20s and 30s and you're trying to talk yourself into them. These are guys that everybody in the league, the consensus is, are going to be, you know, top 6 picks in the National Football League.
Nathan Zagura with us on the hotline. So I'm with you on basically everything you just said, but I do understand that we have people at the station who have just flat out said they don't think Shedeur is that good. Obviously, if you don't think he's that good, you wouldn't take him at 2. So I understand that, but I'm seeing what is getting close to a consensus of individuals that do this for a living. They all, at this point, have him as a first-round grade now. Now, some might have him a little lower. So, Nathan, I keep seeing people say, well, in last year's draft, he would have been the 7th quarterback taken. He would have been in the Bo Nix territory. Okay, well, we're in 2025 in this draft, and I do think that he's gotten a lot better since last year. So, to me, he's absolutely in the neighborhood of a quarterback you would take if you were sitting there at 2 and needed one.
So, first, like, Mel Kiper has both of them in his top four players overall. Daniel Jeremiah has both of them, I think, in his top 13 or 14 players overall. It's not like we're talking about guys that are a total stretch. And in my, this is my personal assessment. I watched four games on the All-22 and dug into Shedeur Sanders. And my assessment of him is, you know, when I look at the arm, good enough to make any NFL throw, even in tight windows, can flick it to the far sideline, no problem. Deadly accurate in the 10 to 20 range, plenty of arm strength to navigate the middle of the field. He's got a good, compact, over-the-top delivery, very high release point. He can throw very comfortable on the run, going right or left. He can just throw it with a flick of the wrist. Good feel for the pocket. He'll drift left sometimes, and he drifts back at times, and that's something Cam Ward does as well, and I think part of that is just trying to make big plays. But he has good escapability. I mean, you're talking about a guy that is under duress all the time and usually gets away from the first guy. I think in the NFL, one of the things you want to see him do is take in structure. And that's what I tried to watch with Shedeur, break down plays that were the chaos plays, but then also break down in structure. When he actually had protection, he was in rhythm, in time. How good was he? And the answer is elite. And that's why I think he would fit so well in an offense like ours with Kevin Stefanski, you know, taking back the reins here. His accuracy is incredible. His anticipation is incredible. His toughness, he will hang in the pocket. He takes a beating, no bad body language, and his decision-making is elite. One of the things I was taught back in 2014 when watching quarterbacks, and for people who were out there, this was a piece of advice that was given to me and I thought was very good, is you take your pre-snap notes, run the play just a little bit, get the receivers, you know, maybe 5 yards into their routes, and pause it again. Look at the coverage. You'll have a very clear idea of exactly what the coverage is. Knowing that, you'll kind of be able to tell maybe what the route combinations are starting and have it in your mind be like, okay, with this coverage, this is where the ball should go. Shedeur Sanders is a very good in those situations. He has one of the highest ratings in college under pressure and was one of the best, in fact, the best, when he was kept clean and got the ball out under 2.5 seconds. So there are a lot of things I see that I like. And I would tell people, you know, you go watch some of the tape stuff. You know, you go back if you want to, you know, against Colorado State, play 61 for the people that like to really get in there. Play 67 is an incredible play in that game. Against Nebraska, he took a beating and still was able to come back and make some big plays. And then in the Baylor game, 57, dime. Play 61, absolute dime. And then at the end of the game, he makes three unbelievable plays to get them in position to get into overtime and win the game. He can run kind of like Mahomes, not a plus athlete. I would say he's not Lamar Jackson. He's not going to run like that, but he's got the ability if it's 3rd and 9 and, you know, they part C's to easy go up and get the first down. So I liked everything that I saw about him, and I like kind of his demeanor. They say his leadership's incredible. We'll see. We'll see if that's what the evaluation of, you know, the people in charge are. But the notion that he – people say stuff like this all the time. I don't know if we get into kind of this, you know, oh, well, next year. Wait, we got to get Arch Manning. Anybody who has the first pick, if Arch Manning is what everybody expects him to be this year at Texas, first of all, I don't think he's coming out. There's no reason to anymore. He can stay there, be the king of the campus, make $10 million. They said all along he's a four-year guy, so now you're into 2027. But even so, it doesn't matter what you have. If a team is picking first that needs a quarterback, there isn't a trade package you can make that's going to get you Arch Manning. You have an opportunity right now, I think, to get one of two very, very talented quarterbacks, and you've got Kevin Stefanski, the two-time coach of the year, who's there because of his offensive acumen. And you just promoted Tommy Rees, offensive coordinator, who 2 years ago got the best out of Jalen Milrow at Alabama, and you saw how Milrow kind of fell back this year without him. So I think you have a good environment, not to mention Billy Musgrave, to nurture a young quarterback and really should be in a great position to succeed. So if you see elite traits, and Tom Brady loves Shedeur Sanders, and the traits he likes, toughness, decision-making, and accuracy, which in my mind are really kind of the three things you need to be a quarterback in the National Football League at a high level. If you've got those traits and you've got good coaching, good scheme, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to be successful and turn it around.
Nathan Zagura on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Yeah, I keep trying to tell people that about Arch Manning. I'm like, there's no guarantees coming out. Like, his uncle stayed.
It's a different world.
Exactly. He'd make money anyway.
More.
Yeah, so I agree with you. It's like, hey, if we're all putting it in the Arch Manning basket, like, you better be careful. He could definitely go back, and they could feel a million reasons why. Now, let me ask you this, because we got to be prepared for everything. And I know we're a little bit of ways out, and there's other situations I want to talk to you about, so I got to be quick with this. Who's the position player you like? Just give me a name. Say they trade out of it. Who's the position player that you like, not quarterback?
Oh, McMillan from Arizona.
Pep McMillan. Love him. Oh, you and your wide receivers. I knew it.
You know, come on. You knew it was going to be a wide receiver. You have to score the football.
I got to protect my quarterback, whoever's going to play, though, Nathan. Can I interest
you? You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Just doing a nice Will Campbell? Come on.
In a week-out situation, as we saw in the Super Bowl, the two Kansas City losses, they were absolutely dominated up front, right? Tampa did that to them, and then in this past one with Philadelphia. The lines are critically important, but when you have a plus quarterback, when you have an elite quarterback, it is not as important. And I think that you need, in this league, you need more bang for the buck. Let's worry about getting actual stars and playmakers, and then we can worry about filling things in, because you know this as well as I do. In the time that I've been here, I think in two different iterations, we've had the best offensive line in football.
That's true.
But it doesn't translate to anything unless you have the quarterback and the playmakers. So I think that, to me, that's number one. Look, McMillan, he's got the size. He reminds me of kind of, you know, in that Mike Evans, Drake London mold. He can run, big catch radius, tough, makes huge plays. I think he would be a quarterback's friend on the outside. And all of a sudden, if you were to pair him with Jerry Jeudy, you know, I think you're, and that is a great tight end draft, and it's a great running back draft. I mean, it is an elite running back draft. So you have a chance, I think, to go in and really put yourself in a position where you've got two really good receivers, where you've got, and Cedric Tillman, and hopefully he can come back, because he definitely was showing some promise. You'd have two tight ends if you draft one alongside Njoku, and then you've got, you know, hopefully Nick Chubb back, Jerome Ford, and then a draft pick at running back. And I think all of a sudden you've got a pretty good skill situation going on.
Real quick, real quick. Aaron Rodgers, where is he going to end up?
I say Pittsburgh, Vegas, or nowhere.
Whoa! Yeah, let Pony deal with him. All right, what did you make of the Trevor Lawrence stuff yesterday?
Liam Cohen took that job because he likes Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence isn't getting traded anywhere.
Would Liam Cohen, well... I'm thinking about a draft. I didn't think so, but I got to tell you, Nathan, it's like, I don't think this Ryan Burr guy would just make something up, would he? He's not going to make it up.
I mean, it was dismissed as ridiculous by the Jags themselves.
That's yeah, well, said, but he said he heard it from people with the Jags, and you and I both know Tony Khan. Things can get a little crazy down there, buddy boy.
Hey, he said similar things to me.
Well, maybe he's working them into a shoot. Maybe that's Tony Khan pulling off the work.
Nathan, you got anything more for him, Tone?
Well, just quickly, as quick as you can.
20 seconds.
Because we got to go. But, I mean, the Heisman Trophy winner, is he really going to play both sides? I think it undercuts his value, to be honest, at number two overall.
Oh, that's a long answer. You know, asked the wrong question.
I'll be real quick. I think he is elite at both. He has a chance to do something that maybe we've never seen before. I think it's very interesting. He's going to combine as a corner only. A lot of the people I talk to like him as a receiver who moonlights as a corner. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
I like that. Nathan, thank you very much for the time. We'll talk to you again soon. You know we love you.
You got it, guys. Love you too.
Nathan Zagura on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I got to throw some baseball in here. Have to do it. I know we just had Nathan on. We're going to get back to the Browns here in a second. I'm sorry. But I heard some audio the other day of Phelps. Yeah, Phelps. Where he's, have you heard Jeff lately?
Unhinged is how I would describe him.
Oh, my goodness.
Something's going on there.
Oh, my goodness.
I barely recognize him.
He used the B word two times this week.
Yeah, I couldn't let my kids listen in the car. It's sad. I don't know what's happening.
He's getting mean. Jeff's getting downright mean. Yeah, I'm not letting my son listen to that toilet talk.
I mean, we're going to have to issue a warning before he comes on the radio going forward.
So a caller got in. I don't know how they got on the Gardos. Caller got in, and but they were probably like pitchers and catchers. And then a caller got in about Paul Dolan being cheap. And then we've had this kind of existential crisis, you and I, because I said, well, you're looking at Major League Baseball. When you have Hal Steinbrenner saying that, well, we can't keep up with the Dodgers, I'm going, good God, guys. Sometimes you get upset and frustrated. You go, what's the point? And a fan said that to Jeff, and Jeff wasn't having it.
If you don't like the way they do business, that's up to you. This is the way they do it. They compete like crazy. I am so tired of people saying, well, they don't spend any money. Yeah, guess what? A lot of teams that spend a lot of money suck. Our team doesn't spend a lot of money, and they don't suck. So call the Angels. Ask how that's worked out. Call the Mets. Ask how that's worked out. It annoys me. It's so shallow in thinking by our fans. I would think our fans are smarter than that. Oh, they don't spend enough money. Yeah, if they spent more money, it might actually work better, okay? And there are a lot of teams that don't make good decisions, spend a lot of money, and suck. If you want everything, go be a Yankees fan. Go be a Dodgers fan. It's easy. Go ahead. Be a front runner. Go ahead. If you want to be a Cleveland fan and follow the Guardians, do it. But don't call us bitching about the fact they don't spend any money. We know they don't spend the big money. If you want to embrace the team and love it, do it. If not, go watch somebody else.
Whoa!
Jeff freaking Phelps bringing it on a Friday.
Get off this guy's air. Not even off his lawn.
Yeah.
I hear what Jeff's saying, and I have agreed with the past. My focus is on the future. I worry more about the future. I mean, if you have Shohei Ohtani who's willing to do deferred payments until the year 3000, what's a Gardo's fan supposed to do? I mean, if you're willing to take that type of a contract and then defer payments, there's really no winning. There's no winning. I mean, you can win, but there's no winning emotionally. But I look at what the Guardians have done. The Guardians have been a fantastic franchise. And so we're running into this wall every offseason. Our off seasons are not fun like others. Unless you were that excited to get rid of Miles Straw, then
no,
it, maybe I was with you.
We're never going to be jumping up and down at the winter meetings or the hot stove.
I remember this. I was telling Owen this story like a week ago. I said, I remember I was in Miss Tuesdale's class, 12th grade English, and we had to write like a paper of argumentation. And my argument was about a salary cap in baseball. I go, it's 21 years since I graduated high school. We're still talking about the same problems 21 years later. And we'll probably be talking about it by the time my oldest graduates high school. Certainly by the time Owens are all out of high school. So it bothers me to that level. And I think, man, I love Jeff. I can't just shut you down. Because I'm afraid if I shut you down and go, the Dolans are good owners, you guys don't know any better, it's just going to create apathy for the sport. Because I'm willing to listen to people say the Dolans are cheap. I don't want to hear you say nasty things personally about the Dolans or really any owner for that matter. I'm willing to listen to you say that the Dolans are cheap and they don't spend and this, that, and the other. And I also know that in the end, they're going to be a competitive franchise. And I know that a lot of us say a bunch of things in February that we have to kind of take back in September. and the Guardians themselves. Lima, you know it. They have retweeted some members of the media going after them for their lack of spending when they were clinching crowns of the division. Yet, when a fan tells me, Ken, it's about winning. It's about winning the ultimate prize, not just being competitive. That's what it is in basketball. It's rings culture. And we expect the very best out of them, and Dan Gilbert gives it to us. We expect the very best out of the Browns. They are 3-14, but I'll tell you right now, I mean, and you guys can say what you want to about me. I don't care. They have spent in the kingdom come to try to make that team better. Like, it's made me bitter towards Joe Burrow because he's willing to cut Mike Brown a break. Meanwhile, if Myles Garrett asked for $40 million this year, they'd just hand it to him.
So, Kenny, here's the issue, and I wonder, you're never going to get fans to vote on this in the right way or to be totally honest about it. But if I were to ask the fans right now, given how annoyed they are at our off seasons, how boring any baseball discussion is outside of the actual season. Season's awesome. We win games. We kick ass. We have a lot of moments. We have playoff moments that so many teams would be envious of over the years. I'd say that the 2/3 of Major League Baseball would be envious of our playoff moments, you know, during our lifetimes. But the reality is we don't have a World Series and everything. I would wonder, would fans secretly rather have us be the spending team every offseason than where we are now and then have no guarantees at the regular season?
How many season ticket holders do they have? I'm going to guess 10, 15,000?
Various packages,
Okay. If they got 15,000 season ticket holders, they'd rather have it the way the Guardians are doing it. The ones that go to a game, then go to the bar more than go to the game. Honestly, baseball is something that you hear us complain about or talk about between football season. Those are the ones that would rather spend the money or have the Guardians spend the money. I don't think that that's something nasty to say about a fan base, because I think that's most fan bases. I think that's what baseball has done to their fan base. The Dodgers, they have a big TV deal. They're still able to spend. The Yankees, they still have a big TV deal. The Mets still have a big TV deal. They're all willing to spend. They're able to spend. You know, we use the term willing and able, and these are two different terms. Are the Guardians able to spend? I don't know. We've done the books and opened the books conversation many times. It's a business. They're not going to spend into the red. Go ask the Twins. They cut $30 million from the payroll going into last year. Other teams are doing it as well. Hell, they're afraid they're going to move the Padres. Rob Manfred had to come out and say that there was no plan to move the Padres.
It's funny, the Padres.
That was after their owner sadly passed away, where he was trying to get a World Series before he, again, sadly passed away.
We've won, since 2017, we've won more games than the Padres, and we've been to the playoffs. We've won more playoff games than the Padres.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cough right now.
But at the same time, I think there are fans in this town who would rather be the Padres over the last seven years than the Guardians.
Because you get a taste of what it's like with the Cavs. You get a taste of what it's like with the Cavs. Where you have an owner who's just, you want money? I'm going to hold you to a high standard, but here's the money. And we're willing to spend whatever it takes. With the Browns, again, I can't make the argument because you're 3-14, you're spending the money in the wrong places. But when they first, and you know this, when they first signed Deshaun Watson to that $230 million deal, there were a lot of people going, our owner does not let money be an object. So when you see it in two other sports, and then you got one where they're accused of crying poor, they're going to get angrier about it. And it happens in Pittsburgh as well. It happens in Cincinnati as well. It happens a little bit in Detroit, but not as much. It's a little bit bigger of a market. Of course, what am I to say when they spent $15 million on Alex Cobb and he's not going to be ready to go for the season because he got hurt again? They do the same thing in Colorado. They do the same thing in 26 other markets. But if I say it's a baseball problem, you're carrying water for the Dolans, Ken. Can't have it both ways. So I have to accept it in February with you, Tone, and know that, in September, 9 seasons out of 10, they're going to be a competitive club. Because it's been that way. 9 seasons out of 10, over the last 30 years now, they've been a competitive baseball team that's either been in the postseason, approached the postseason, been in the ALCS or the World Series. They just haven't got over the hump. And that's a shame. I wish they could. I wish they could get paid off for the judiciousness of what they've done. But they've played just well enough to upset the general public. Because when you get to the ALCS and you go, Juan Soto hit a home run, and now what's he getting with the Mets? He put us away, and what's he getting? Had the best at-bat I've ever seen live. Got to give him credit where it's due.
The Yankees lost him.
And it's like, man, if we would have spent that much more, could we have done it? And then I'm thinking, you know what? We might not even be in the same stratosphere.
We're not.
And we are this good at this time.
And it's just not built. This sport is not built like right now, the NBA or the NFL.
It's a harsh truth, man.
And basically baseball saying,
harsh truth.
Blame your owners. Blame your owners. They're all cheapskates. Blame your owners. Okay, fine. That doesn't get me anywhere. That's just going to turn people off of the sport.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.